Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And our guest today is in New Zealand, and through the wonders of technology, we are going to be chatting with an incredible woman. Her name is Sally Anderson. Her book title is Free Fall, Living Life Beyond the Edge. Sally, welcome to the show.
Privileged to be on the show this morning.
I am, by the way, what time is it in New Zealand right now?
It's 11 a.m.
11 a.m., quite a bit of time difference, and it's Friday morning for you, correct?
Correct.
Well, this is a delight. I, first of all, must compliment you. I think you're a woman of tremendous courage, and I think your book is one of the more powerful books that I have read about people taking responsibility for their lives, and your perspectives are very, very healthy ones. But your personal story, which comes in the back part of the book, which I found interesting, your personal story just blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. I've heard many stories of what people have gone through, but yours was one of the most unbelievable ones that I have ever, ever read about. I've encountered so many things, but this really is an act of courage as far as I'm concerned.
That's high praise coming from a woman of your caliber.
Well, thank you, Sally. I appreciate that compliment, but I mean it most sincerely. For those of you listening, we'll get into a little bit of Sally's story in a bit. This book, Free Fall, is not for the weak of heart. And when I say that, I really mean it. Because if you read her book, what it will do, it will take the rose-colored glasses off, enable you to deal with life's realness, and really become empowered. And I'd say if you don't want any of that, don't pick up the book and read it, because it is going to absolutely amaze you. Sally, as a woman who has gone through so many different challenges, you have walked a path of excruciating challenge, and you have come out from that with a sense of freedom. Give us a little bit about your story, please. My audience needs to know about it, if you don't mind sharing it.
Not at all. Where to start? I was brought up in a great family. My father was a guidance counselor in the schooling system. When I was young, we lived in Canada for 4 years. When I was 2 years of age, we went and lived in Canada. He wanted to further his career as a guidance counselor. We came back to New Zealand when I was 6 with a very broad Canadian accent, and I, from a young age, really enjoyed skiing. I learned to ski on Whistler Mountain, and so my first job away from my parents, away from my family, was hiring out skis in a local resort in the North Island of New Zealand. In the early 80s, a lot of young people used to hitchhike, and a girlfriend and I, on our first day off, decided to hitchhike into a local township, which was about half an hour away. And we decided to shop till we dropped, because it was the first time we had our own pay packets. And we then were a bit rebellious. I was 15, 16 at the time. I always looked a lot older than what I was. We walked into the local public bar in the township. What we didn't realize from the minute that we walked into the bar that we were being cased out by a gang called the Mongrel Mob here in New Zealand, which are a gang of notorious men. And in the early 80s, they were extremely rife here in New Zealand. We were in the public bar for about 3 hours. My bag went missing, my girlfriend went missing, and I went outside to try and find her. And a car pulls up outside side with eight mongrel members inside. I was thrown into the car. The level of terror that I felt, because I didn't know what was going to happen or where they were taking me. They proceeded to strip me of my clothes, hand me around each of the men. They drove me to the local mongrel mob hangout in a place called Tamaranui. And what transpired for the next 12 to 14 hours, I was gang raped by more than 100 mongrel mob members and literally died on a butcher's block that day. I was conscious throughout the ordeal. And that old saying of where were you when I needed you, I was the one carrying you. I screamed beyond the comprehension of screaming and received so much oral abuse that it damaged my vocal cords. So the depth of my voice has always been something that I was revolted by for most of my life because it was a reminder of my past. But the irony, I'm now wanting to craft myself as one of the leading female keynote speakers in America, you know, with the launch into America. And I can say to your listeners today that I'm very proud of this voice, considering the journey of what it's taken to come home. I was then abducted over a three-day period. Three men in the back, two in the front, took me from the mongrel mob hangout in Tawaranui to a place called Tikawiri, which is about an hour and a half away. The raping continued until we arrived in the new location. I was left alone in the car in the early morning, winter morning, about 7 o'clock. I was beaten black and blue, couldn't walk, couldn't talk. And it was more terrifying to go and ask for help because I didn't think anybody would help me. So I stayed, the irony of the human psyche, I stayed with what was known. They came and got me. The raping continued until I lost consciousness. In the afternoon, the head of the mongrel mob from Tikawiri found me in his house because he'd been away, asked me where I was from. There was nobody else in the house but me. He gave me clothes. He put me into his car. He drove me back to where I was staying, dropped me on the side of the road at 7 o'clock at night and demanded petrol money. Didn't kind of have any money on me at the time. Went and demanded money from the people I was working with, went back, gave the money to the head of the mongrel mob, and the car sped off. So I'm standing on the side of the road. It's midwinter, it's snowing, and I'd been missing for 3 days. I went back to where I was staying. I had a bath for 4 or 5 hours. I got up the next day, went back to work, and acted like nothing had happened, completely disassociated. But because I'd been missing for 3 days, the police had been called when I turned up for work. And my parents were called. In the early 80s, there was a lack of support for the victim. I felt like one of the perpetrators, the degree of interrogation, both physically and mentally. My father being a guidance counselor, the irony, you know, what do you say to your daughter? Both of my parents didn't know how to be with it. We lived 6 hours from that location, and the drive home was in silence. Nothing was said. They didn't know how to be with it, so go back to school, act like it didn't happen. And so there was no psychological support. Their way of dealing with it was to deny that it ever happened. So for the next 25 years, I pretty much internalized everything. How I didn't end up in an asylum or committing suicide is beyond me. I lived out of extreme self-loathing. Up until the age of 30, I never, ever went a day without ironclad makeup because if you saw beyond the mask, you'd be too revolted by what you saw. Who would want a woman like me? I went into 30 years of sexual addiction. Name an addiction, I've had it. Drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, you name it. I lived at every extremity of dysfunctional behavior. What I didn't realize was that that was my life apprenticeship and that the mongrel mob were my spiritual initiators. That I am a spiritual teacher, that I went beyond my soul and back again, and it took me 25 years to put the pieces back together of my own accord. So my passion to have the education that I've developed over the last 10 years in the hands of people who are working with the human condition, psychotherapists, counselors, coaches, doctors, social workers, mental health workers, what is unique about my education, I'm wanting in the hands of those that are dealing with the human condition, as I said. But what I can shift anybody who's either suicidal or depressed within a very short space of time. I don't believe in depression, is one of the chapters in my books. People who perceive that they are depressed think that they're disassociated. They go to a doctor to ask for help, and they get put on depression drugs to get doubly disassociated. The journey back home to taking any form of responsibility is a very long one, if at all. And if I have my way, part of the book is to take on the pharmaceutical industry. Anything of a non-sustainable nature. So from my perspective, the book is I didn't want a tragedy to hope type books are normally 90% tragedy, 10% hope. I wanted to ensure that there was a before and after transformation relay of the power of the education We've never gone to market in 10 years. They say overnight success takes 10 years, but we're about to go pretty majorly to market in the US. The global financial crisis, I believe, works to our benefit because there's a lot of people in pain out there. And the key aspect of this education is that we alleviate people from their pain, both personally and professionally, in a very short space of time. So when I do my keynoting, I share my story for the purposes of making a difference, that I'm very clear I shouldn't be here today, but I am. And I believe that the 20-year vision that I've articulated in the book is my reason for having gone through what I've gone through. And from that perspective, I get that everything has been in perfection.
That was something, and again, your personal story is at the end of the book, and I thank you for sharing that. I think so many times it's very hard for people to be open, to realize that ugliness is in life, it can happen, but you don't have to be stuck with it, and that is what impressed me with your book. Your book just really nails things quite clearly. And of course, I read the book from front to back. I didn't see or perceive or understand your personal story because you have it in the latter part of the book. And your very first question that you have in your first chapter is, are you living your life by design or by default? That question in and of itself is extremely powerful. And you make another statement. You believe the default identity only has the existence we give it because it's nothing more than a construct in our head. That is so, so hard to get across to people. You talk about drama in life. You talk about forgiveness in life. You talk about how when we go through metamorphosis, how it's a death, and it really is. And none of us like it. None of us like it at all. And when the universe hits us with what I call the proverbial 10 by 10, or sometimes people like to make it a smaller size, a 2 by 4, it's not fun. It really isn't. I've gone through a few of those myself, and nobody likes them. Nobody likes them. But you really, really turned your life around, so now you're on the side of reality where you are about letting people know that they can take control of their lives where they don't hurt anymore and they can live a life with purpose and wonderful fulfillment. And you recently got married. What was it, a year, year and a half ago?
In May, it'll been 2 years.
2 years. Happily married to a wonderful, wonderful person. You are out and you are making a difference in people's lives. And it's really because of the understanding that you have obtained. And I think it's no nonsense, and I think it's marvelous. Why is it so hard to get through to people who are in the counseling area that you really can help people heal?
There's a number of ways I can respond to that. I have a huge issue with the likes of counseling and psychotherapy because they actually psychoanalyze and keep the default identity in place. There comes a time where you've got to stop talking about the story. Your story does not define who you are, but it is the backbone of your character, of how you show up in the world. So for the likes of somebody who's been seeing a counselor every week for 15 years, I've got a huge issue with that. The key focus that I'm talking about is sustainable transformation. We have the ability to sustain anything once we're aware. There is a lot of power in awareness-based training, which is the education that I've developed. So the people that are attracted to my education, we run a 3-day free-fall seminar. We're looking to launching in Miami, Florida, and Palm Springs, hopefully mid this year. And people who are attracted to the education have tried everything else. They've tried the counseling, the psychotherapy, the avatars, the landmarks, Anthony Robbins, you name it. And they still haven't transformed the areas of their lives that they're wanting to transform. in 3 days, they're leveraging 30 years of knowledge, and the results that are being produced of a transformative nature are extraordinary. And I feel like a Bill Gates waiting to go off with what I've got, and I'm excited about bringing the education to America, because there are a lot of people who are investing a hell of a lot of money into change, into wanting to change themselves, but bugger all of it is sustainable. So I'd been a course junkie for 25 years, always looking outside of myself for the answers, course to course, book to book, CD to CD. My background is as a cultural, behavioral and change agent. 10 years ago, my last assignment was 3,000 projects at the height of the assignment. I was based in Boston, Netherlands and New York. I was in New York on September the 10th, which was my wake-up call, being in America when September 11th hit. Millions of dollars would be spent on these change programs, but I knew they wouldn't get a return on their investment 3 to 5 years after I walked out the door, so I felt like a prostitute as a consultant in the system. So I became fascinated by this elusive thing called sustainability, both personally and professionally, and that if you're going to invest money into change, let's make sure it's sustainable. What I didn't realize in my 30 years of putting the pieces back together, that I was, how many books do we need to read that say, be careful what you think, your thoughts create your reality? Yet we're not disciplined where our thoughts are focused. And I was the creator of all of the dysfunctionality. I was the one that was creating the suffering. It wasn't the world doing it to me. And I was the queen of the victim. But my relationship to victim, I knew that I wasn't weak. So I had the meaning of victim, meaning weakness. But when I got the distinction that victim is feeling powerless to change the situation, I got to see that in every area of my life I was powerless. And I never understood the distinction choice. I have a choice on how I feel. I have a choice on what I feed. And there are four key disempowered frequencies. You know, when you're traveling in the car and you're trying to tune into the music, you do not stay on the static channel. You're trying to tune into the music. But most people don't know what the music is. But the static we listen to as a human being is fear, the inner critic, that internal destructive voice, issues, problems, and challenges. People live, eat, and breathe that on a day-to-day basis, and confusion. How convenient, you don't know, you don't have to be responsible. That seems to be the static channel for human nature. We were born intuitive, we were born connected, and we were born fearless. I do not need to teach somebody how to lead a fearless existence. I need to remind them to reclaim it because it was their birthright. So part of the training, I train people to understand fear, inner critic, issues, problems, challenges, and confusion as everything is a projection. We are never in the now moment. We're either feeding something out in the future that hasn't even happened yet, or we're dragging in something from the past. We are disassociated from what it is that we are experiencing pain with. And I can understand why people don't want to reassociate, because the thing that had them disassociate in the first place was the pain. So I'm probably the most fearless person you could ever meet. I'm very, very straight. I'm a coach intuitive. I coach to cause, not symptom. I'm a linguistic person. When people communicate with me in live environments, I can hear what's going on, but I prefer to coach to the cause that I pick up intuitively rather than the symptoms of what they're relaying verbally. The language that we speak into the world creates our reality. If we want our reality to change, we need to change our language. So I'm very, very committed to making people aware that they are the ones creating the suffering. You cannot suffer in this life. You cannot have a bad day. You cannot have a low moment unless you're living in the realm of meaning. Meaning comes from a past or future-based projection. We live in a 1 to 3 dimensional world. We in our schooling system still continue to teach what we did 50, 60, 70 years ago. If we're wanting to raise the consciousness of those on this planet and no longer have to create adversity to learn, considering the degree of adversity I've experienced in my life has been imperfection to teach, that to enter the 4th, 5th dimension, which is the realm beyond meaning, the realm of equanimity, that ability to remain undisturbed in the face of perceived good or ill fortune. It can't be good, can't be ill, unless you're making it mean something. So the way that I shift people, and I shift people very fast, I do live coaching in live environments, both in keynoting and in the seminars. Throw anything at me, any place, anytime, anywhere, and anything, and I act as a conduit. And looking at a TV show in the States, where we live in an instant gratification society, people want to transform what they're experiencing real time. So it would be very powerful to actually witness that on camera. The only thing is that I'm not a Jerry Springer. I wouldn't drag out somebody's victimville longer just for TV ratings, so I don't know how we're going to manage that one. But we're excited about people seeing and witnessing and experiencing the education, because my key focus point is, what is the point, as I said before, but I will repeat it, what is the point of investing money into change when it's not sustainable?
capacity to choose and our experiences are a direct reflection of the moment-by-moment choices we make. Once we're aware, we have the ability to respond differently to whatever is occurring in our life, and becoming present to the reality of our situation is a difficult step. There are so many components that you have in your book that are very direct and very sustainable. In the way of information, you bring out such excellent stories and points that I think just about anybody can benefit from it. One of the points you talk about is the inner critic, how the inner critic is a saboteur, and that it is basically what annihilates the potential of an individual. And you are someone that says we're powerful and our power is going to be invested somewhere. It's only a question of how it's going to be deployed. And I really like that. I like your attitude about being able to deal with people. You don't care what their trauma has been. You don't care what their screen script that they're playing over and over and over again in their mind is. Your purpose is that you really want people to know that they are in charge of their space. And as you said earlier, it's not outside, it's inside. And you don't want to get stuck in a victim mentality. And you're not alone. You're not alone. And you have a phenomenal story in here about a gentleman who was 45 years of age. He had one child, and you knew he was in your audience. You knew that this man was carrying something very dark inside of him. And one of the questions that you'll put out to your audience is, who wants a breakthrough in their life in an area where they've never had a breakthrough? And this man responded. He had an incredible story. Can you share that story?
He had never ever shared anything about his childhood with anyone. He had lived unconsciously in his life that he was a bad person. His father was a very abusive alcoholic and physically beat up his mother on a regular basis. So at the age of 12, he witnessed his father beating his mother almost to death and intercepted. And because of the history of abuse that had been in that family, in the study of ontology, they have distinguished that there are three incidences in childhood where we decide and we sentence ourselves, and this is part of where the default forms. So in that moment, he decided that he was a bad boy, a bad person. And then all he had to do for the rest of his life is find evidence to qualify and validate that belief about himself. But it was what the child decided at the time. So he's in the audience, and I'm facilitating this with him. And part of the reconnect for him was when I facilitated the inner critic conversation with him. I mean, my approach is pretty unorthodox, but it does get results. So I said to him, are you a child abuser? And he said, what do you mean? I said, of course not. I said, if there was a five-year-old child sitting beside you right now, would you berate that child, abuse that child the way you do to yourself most days? Oh, God, no. I said, what have you done that has been so bad, apart from saving your mother's life, that has warranted the last 20, 30 years of verbal abuse? And that the irony that the inner critic voice, which is the area in which I specialize, because I believe you can silence it and have proven that, given that I had the worst inner critic known to man 24/7, high volume, with the most vicious dialogue, with no let up for nearly 30 years, to now having silenced it to reconnect with my intuitive voice. I facilitated a conversation with him about what it means to come home. He had no relationship with his father, had not had for quite some time. Anyway, through the seminar, he first of all reconnected to himself. Given that he thought that he was a bad person, he also thought that he was a bad father, a bad husband, and the cyclical effect of the impact that it was having in all areas of his life. When I reconnected him to that, the 12-year-old boy made a decision, and he had to survive. He learned in that moment what it meant to have experiential compassion for himself and then have compassion for the journey of 20, 30 of years of suffering that he'd put himself through off the belief of a 12-year-old. He then reconciled with his wife, he reconciled with his child, he reconciled with his father. This is not about condoning the what happened, but the only person who loses out of the inability to forgive is the person who can't forgive. And when he got that distinction, he was able to complete with his father. And he had also watched the 60-minute documentary that I did back in 2004 where I met one of my perpetrators on TV. And part of the message of that documentary was, you know, I had a 3-day event and then I had a 25, 30-year life sentence that I put myself through and I became more of a worse perpetrator than the mongrel mob. And I did that to myself, but I was unaware. So that's the power of awareness-based training.
Your story, your book is just incredible. It is something that really, if a person will take the time to read Free Fall and go from the first page all the way through, don't read the back first. Go page by page by page. It is such an eye-opener. And it is something that I think really allows a person to claim who they are with integrity. And I don't know of anyone that hasn't gone through dark nights of the soul. Your stories that you have in here, your comment, your section on forgiveness, which is not condoning a person's behavior, but understanding that it is that human soul, that spirit, that needs a forgiveness, but the behavior they exhibited still has to be dealt with. But you don't carry that hate, that anger, that fear, that confusion. You let it go. And that's a big, big, big step to make. That is a huge step to make. And again, your book, Free Fall, Living Life Beyond the Edge, Sally, I think you've done an incredible job with it, and I know that we're just about out of time, and I wanted to be sure that, because you are in New Zealand, I know you're coming into the United States, but I want people to know that they can go to your blog. You actually have two of them. The first one is Sally, Sally-AndersonBlog.com, and Anderson is A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, blog.com. Also, there's the other blog, www.freefallselfimprovement.com. If you know of anyone that is going through a difficulty in letting go of agonies, pain of any kind, and they're walking around with a mask on because they just don't know how to get into that part of themselves that is real, this is a book that is incredibly good, incredibly good. Have a highlighter in your hand, read it, use it as a tool, and then check in with Sally Anderson's blog. Before we close out, Sally, is there something that you would like to leave in the way of a thought with my audience?
The hardest thing to get out of people is, what do you want, what are you committed to, and what are you motivated by? For you to be able to lead an impassioned life for the rest of your life, you need to get clarity around what you want with crystal clear clarity. What you are motivated by is the thing that has you sustain living at an impassioned state. I, for my own self, I lived out of extreme fear for over 30 years. I now get to teach love for the rest of my life. That is what motivates me. That is what I feed. If you had every thought, everything you did, say, be, do, oriented towards forwarding your game would be forwarded. But most people don't know what their game is. So being very clear on what you want, what you're motivated by, and what you're committed to will guarantee you access to the results. The book is actually on Amazon, and it's actually available in the US bookstores in the coming weeks. And I'd love feedback from anybody who has the opportunity to read the book. That would be great. And really acknowledge you for the opportunity today and the endorsement of the book and the education that I'm wanting to take to market in the United States.
Well, Sally Anderson, you're quite a gal, and I think that your courage, again, is an inspiration. I can only think of one other woman that has gone through the, well, I can actually think of more than one because I've interviewed various people through the years, but these traumas, I don't think there's any word for it, but I think for you to have survived where others probably would not have, and to be able to give the message of freedom, of love, and encouragement to others is just phenomenal. I wish you nothing but the very best in everything that you do, and I feel very privileged to have had you as a guest today. For those of you listening, Free Fall, Living Life Beyond the Edge, Sally Anderson has been my guest. Check out her blog, sally-andersonblog.com, or freefallselfimprovement.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Hey, telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I'll tell you what I perceive. And, of course, you are also welcome to ask me a question about anything that is of interest to you. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking about clutter. Yes, it's springtime. Don't you have that urge to just, when the weather starts turning beautiful, of course, right here in the Pacific Northwest, it's Dripsville big time, heavy winds, lots and lots and lots and lots of gray sky, and lots and lots and lots and lots of liquid gold. But that's just what comes this time of the year. Regardless of where you are, there's that urge. My goodness, I got to wash the windows. You know how it is when the sun shines and all that kind of stuff? Well, it feels good when you get things tidy. But Sally's going to be giving us some wonderful tips on how we can perhaps be even more efficient with bringing things together in a very special way. Well, I had a fun something to share with you. Household spirits. Yes, Now, I'm not talking about the liquid ones. I am talking about those spirits from the other side. And you know, every country has paranormal experiences, and also they have their belief systems depending on what the cultural background is. And it's really strong. It's really, really amazing. Now, these household spirits, I found out about 11 of them, and this one, Domovoy. Now, this is for those in Russia and Poland. Traditionally, every house has one Domovoy, and it won't harass the residents unless it's made mad by poor housekeeping, profanity, or neglect. Oh, boy. Those dust bunnies better not grow too fast. Well, apparently this is a male spirit and is a guardian, and they say sometimes helps with chores and farm work, sometimes neighboring Domovoy meet for wild winter parties. You wonder how that one evolved. So far, I haven't found a spirit anywhere that helped me with housekeeping. What about you? I don't think so. Then there's Zashiki Warashi, and this is in Japan. Now, this is a childlike spirit, and it has a red face, and it's only in well-kept, prosperous homes. This is one smart spirit. They go where things are really good. What they do, they bring the residents good fortune. However, if this Zashiki Warashi leaves a home, its absence signals the imminent or incipient deterioration of a family's prosperity or fortune. Fascinating stuff. Let's go to Scandinavia. Well, they're called tomti. Now, these spirits take care of farmers' homes and families and protect them from bad things, especially at night. Now, when they get mad, and this is what can anger them, unnecessary swearing, people peeing in the barn, and the like. Now, what they might do is box your ears or kill your flocks. Now, they also are appreciative of special gifts. Don't you just love different cultures? I mean, the different things that they have. Well, that's just a few. I just thought I'd toss those out. But they've got some in China and Egypt and North England and Scotland and Lithuania, Ireland, even here. And oh, I got to share this one with you. It's a mischievous spirit of the Cherokee, and Iroquois tribes. And what they like to do is trip people, and they like to break household items. They're invisible to most people, but for some reason, twins can see and speak with them. Now, what conjurers do, according to legend, is capture them and make them do the household chores. And it's called Yunwi Dijunsti. Mm-hmm. Right here. Fascinating stuff. Just fascinating stuff. Donna Siebel, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, so much is going on, and I know so many of you are getting ready for the Easter holiday, and it's fun to watch people out shopping. I was yesterday in a store, and I had more fun watching these children who were in this store that was loaded with Easter paraphernalia. And of course, you know what they went for. That's right, the goodies, all the Easter candy. And I really felt sorry for Dad. Mom was at the cash register taking care of the various purchases that they had gotten, and Dad was having to watch about four children here of different ages, and they were just, it was hands all over everything, and he was just trying to make sure that everything stayed where it was supposed to stay. But they all went for the candy. Well, I have got something here in the way of jelly bean fudge. Yes. Now, how does that sound to you? This is something that really is going to be fun if you have a get-together at your home. It's so pretty. When I saw it Asha said, wow, this is absolutely amazing, and what a fun thing to put together to have for an Easter brunch. If you and your family are always trying to come up with something to do for Easter. Well, this thing I thought was just great. It's got almond in it, coconut, strawberry flavors, white chocolate, and of course, you've got to have some jelly beans. I mean, after all, if you're going to have a sugar high, let's really do it. So, if you want to get yourself a piece of paper and a pen to write this down, it really is easy, and it's just a lot of fun. I wanted to share with you today also story about a gal by the name of Gina Mulligan, and she really decided she was going to make a difference in people's lives because of the nice things that had been done to her. So I am going to be sharing that with you. There's a quote, and it's by Buddha, "Thousands of candles can be lit from a single candle." I really like that quote. You know why? It really is important that each one of us realize that we are a light. Each one of us have gifts and talents. And when we turn on that light, when we're really true to ourselves, true to who we really are, we're a beacon that others just want to be in that light. They say, please, will you share with me how you were able to do what you do? Not unlike my guest, Sally Anderson. You hear this woman's story, and you might say to yourself, I don't know that I could have survived it. How awful is something so hideous goes on in this world even today? All of these thoughts run through our minds. But if we invest in ourselves, then we become that candle with that flame of wisdom, understanding, and insight, just like Sally has done, that is able to light the wick of insight, wisdom, and understanding of other people. And then the light grows. It's amazing. If you've ever attended a candlelight ceremony in a church, and it starts off with one candle being lit, and then they go down, and each and every person in that environment, whether it's a church, wherever, before you know it, the whole inside of the room or the building is illuminated by all of the candles that have been lit. That's the effect that a person can have. And that's what you need to know that you do with your life when you are true and honest to yourself. You are that candle that can light other people's lives, showing them that their light is just as significant as the one you work so hard to bring to life in yourself. It's just absolutely marvelous. Okay, telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Before we go on break, quickly, I want to mention a couple of things. Number one, the Donna Sebo Show, as of May 1st, is going to be playing from 9 until 10 in the morning. I'll be starting at 9 a.m., not 3, but 9 a.m. on May the 1st. Also, my Quantum Mind 3 class is going to be held on April the 14th for those of you who are in Western Washington or listening to the show today. The fee for the class is $59.95, and it is going to be a wonderful way to spend a Saturday from 10 until 4. We are going to be sharing with you knowledge, Robert Newman and myself. We're going to be sharing with you knowledge about Chinese medicine, how valuable it is, and how you can use it in everyday life to have a better state of health. Also, we're going to be talking, especially me, about dreams, interpretation. What's the value of dreams? We're also going to be doing some mind exercises so that you can demonstrate to yourself your own intuitive ability. I just love doing these classes. This is number 3, distinctly different from the other two that we've had. So if you weren't able to join us for the first two, come and join us on April the 14th. You do need to call. We can only have 25 students in a class. We're taking reservations now. Give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. 5604 or email me, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and I will be delighted to have you join us. I love teaching. Okay, we're taking a break. When we come back, jelly bean fudge and a story about hope. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@DelphiInternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone lines are still open, 888-627-6008, if you'd like to chat with me. Jelly bean fudge. Yum. Now, I'm not a real big fudge fan, but when I found out about this recipe, I thought, one, it's easy. Two, it's got a lot of different flavors in it. And three, easy. Okay, what you're going to need is an 8-inch square pan, and you want to line the pan with foil. And then you want to spray it with cooking spray. So make sure it's nice and smoothly laid out inside the pan. Now, these are the ingredients you're going to need. You're going to need 3 packages, 12 ounces each, of white chocolate chips. 3 packages of white chocolate chips. You're going to need 2 cans, 14 ounces each, of sweetened condensed milk. I told you this is going to be a sugar high. 5 drops of green liquid food coloring. 1/2 teaspoon of almond extract. You're going to need 3 drops of red liquid food coloring. 1 tablespoon of coconut extract. And then 1 tablespoon of strawberry extract. And 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. Then, and you'll have, this is a job you want to give to the kids, you want exactly 128 jelly beans. Now they say that's 3/4 of a cup. You need to count it to make sure. So I would say the little jelly beans, like your jelly bellies, really good. So you've got your square pan all prepared and ready. In a big pot, you want to take your chips and your sweetened milk, and over low heat, you want to cook it, stirring it until it's melted and smooth. Now, you're going to take about a third of the mixture, which is about 2 cups, white of the white, chips and sweetened milk, and then you're going to stir in the green food color and the almond extract in that. Now, you're going to then take it out of the bowl and put it in the pan, and you want to spread it evenly, and then you put it in the refrigerator for 10 minutes. Half of the remaining white chocolate mixture, another 2 cups, you want to take and put in another bowl, and you want to stir in your red food coloring, coconut, and strawberry extracts. Then you're going to spread that, because it'll take you a little less than 10 minutes, but you're going to then spread that over the green layer, and then that has to be refrigerated for about 20 minutes. The remaining white chocolate, you may have to reheat it, or just warm it. And after the 20 minutes of those 2 layers of chocolate cooling in your refrigerator, you're going to take the 8-inch pan out. You're going to stir vanilla into your remaining chocolate, again, reheating it, and you want to spread it over the pink layer. And then you're going to refrigerate that for 10 minutes. Now, using your knife, you're going to lightly score your fudge lengthwise and crosswise into 8 rows each way. And you're going to create squares, obviously, with that. And what you want to do is press 2 jelly beans into the center of each of the square. And then you cover that and let it refrigerate it until it's really set and solid. And that's going to be, about 4 hours. So you might make it the day before. Now the fudge, when you're ready to serve it, you're going to lift the fudge from the pan, remove the foil, and then obviously cut into pieces. This is so much fun. It really is fun. And it's going to look so pretty set up on an Easter table. And I don't think you're going to have any leftovers. And you might want to, if you wanted to, sprinkle a little bit of coconut on top of it. I mean, use your imagination. There's a lot of things you're going to do. Like I said, if you're going to have a sugar high, have a good one, because it is, but this is just as pretty as it can be, really, with the different colors. It's really great. So that's the sugar special for today. And gee whiz, I don't know if I'm going to have time to share the story about Gina. Well, I might do it tomorrow. I know we've only got a couple of minutes left. So what I wanted to do then, since I'm not going to have the time to tell Gina's story, I wanted to tell you about some unique illuminations. Now, this is recorded historically. I just love coming across tidbits like this. And this occurred in 1970 in the South China Sea, and it was on March the 28th. And there were parallel bands of light that were glowing, suspended a yard above a level of water surface. And this happened right in front of the eyes of a crew of a merchant vessel called Border Shepherd. Now, this is what happened. These light beams ended up turning into light wheels, and they revolved clockwise for a few minutes. Then they went into the parallel lines again. Another group of lights appeared, moving perpendicular to the first group of lights. They then seemed to move together towards the ship, and they went up over the ship. And for about 20 minutes, the crew watched this phenomenal display of luminous lights glowing, moving, dancing. And they said what was so strange is they never saw the light in the water. Now, in 1880, there was a story recorded by Commander Harris and his crew aboard their steamship, the Shao Jihan. And they saw a white streak of matter on the horizon, and it turned into a celestial wheel. Said it was one of the most grand and brilliant items they'd ever seen, and it traveled above the water's surface, went across the path of the steamer, engulfed the ship in pulsing light, and then it faded away. Other stories have been recorded. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have an absolutely fabulous day or evening, wherever you might be in this wonderful world of ours. And we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.